Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 223, episode 1 of Your Daily Zeitgeist, production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is Monday, February 7th, 2022. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Got a little background backing track for my AK.
Stop.
I'm anti-vaxxer, so don't kiss me. COVID can't do nothing to me long as I drink piss, B. That is courtesy of Christy Yamaguchi Maine, inspired by him bringing a backing track for his AK when he guested on the show.
I was not ready.
It's about you know, how I drink pee to protect myself from COVID-19. Well, I am thrilled to be joined by today's special guest, co-host, a producer, here in iHeart's LA podcast studio, helping to create shows like Fake Doctors, Real Friends. And welcome to our show. You've heard her on Pop Culture Happy Hour, read her at Vulture, the AV Club, Teen Vogue, all the places you read shit. She is the brilliant and talented Joelle Monique!
Oh my God, it's Monday. We're getting ready for the new week. Oh man.
Sure it is. Wink, wink. How are you, Joelle?
I am going to go play D&D today, and I'm really going to attempt to slay a dragon. I'm just going to get it all out of my system. That's how I'm going to process what this week has been. We're out of Mercury retrograde, thank God. It's a new day.
Yeah.
It's a new day.
I've been on the edge of my seat waiting to get out of Mercury retrograde.
Listen,
personally.
Listen, even if you don't know it, it's happening to you all the time, and it's terrifying.
I
but no more tech issues. We're good now.
I passively believe in, like, I have evidence to suggest that that stuff is real, and it just doesn't agree with my brain, so I just don't do the research. But I'm like, yeah, if you guys tell me that it's important and that it's a good thing that we're out of Mercury retrograde, let's do
it. Next office party, I'm bringing my tarot cards. I have a movie deck tarot cards. They're my favorite. We'll
movie
do a chart
deck.
Reading. It'll be great. Oh, yeah. These
what
are amazing.
What's your what like movie? Give me an example of
okay.
one of the.
So this one is The Emperor. It's The Godfather. You know,
oh,
it's the classics.
Scarface. Yeah.
Okay. We got Ridley is strength.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah.
Did Scarface have like a pad of butter on his desk instead of cocaine?
I think that's what the fuck supposed was going to be. On? Let's see. Let's look at it.
Is that supposed to be gold?
I think that's just a gold cigar box is what it's giving
Got
me.
Got it. Okay.
But yeah, we'll have a time and we'll read your chart. I'll find out where your moon is. It'll be great. Mm.
I have a tarot deck behind me as well. It's like a weird, I swear I do.
Hold on. Wait, no, stop.
That's the one I just pulled today. I don't know if you can see it.
What is this card?
It's the Chariot.
Oh, going places.
The Illumination Tarot Deck. It's like a desert-themed tarot deck.
My wife is
into all this stuff, so I am too, and I think it's very cool. I just really like the art on this.
Shout out to your wife. Love her already.
Well, Joelle, we are thrilled and fortunate to be joined in our third seat by a very funny stand-up whose Netflix half hour in season 3 of the stand-ups is just so fucking funny.
We both
had the privilege of watching it. At 36, this is a fun fact, he is the youngest comedian to ever perform on stage at the Grand Ole Opry.
He's done it a bunch.
You've seen him on Fallon, Kimmel, Last Comic Standing. He's touring all over America this year, and you mustn't miss him if he's on a stage near you. It is the hilarious, the brilliant Dusty Slay!
Hey. All right. Okay. We're having a good time. I appreciate you guys having me.
Man, we are having a good time. We are thrilled to have you.
What a wild podcast. So much has gone on already.
The
wildest thing to me is that you said it was season 223. Is that correct? Yeah.
That's correct. Every week is a new season for us.
So we
like to make it easy on ourselves to really set new records in a number of seasons.
That's unbelievable. I've never heard of that in my life, but I get it. You know,
it's still too many podcasts. We've still done way too many podcasts, but yeah, the season thing is a little misleading.
Okay. I'm into it. And I don't know a lot about Mercury retrograde, but I am ready for January to be done. And January is a wild month for me. Last year, I ruptured my appendix during this time.
No.
I'm ready for it to just be gone. I mean, it is gone.
Right. I was going to say, I have good news for you, man.
We're out of there. But I mean,
February.
I don't know
it's
about
Black History Month.
I don't know about the planets, but I mean, I'm aware of them. I don't know what they're up to, but I'm happy that we're out of that. Whatever that period is, I'm happy it's gone.
Yeah.
I agree. January, terrible month. Dark times. Horrible if you've got the seasonal depression.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that I do, which is why I like the South and which is why I guess California is good, because it's just sunny most of the time. I mean, in the South, we have a few cold, cold months, but the sun comes back quick and it feels good.
Yeah.
I love the heat. I always say I like the heat so much that if it's not hot, it's cold. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. I can't because you can't, I feel like cold seeps into a place that heat can't. You're like cold to your actual bones. That's not fun. That's terrible.
And a lot depends on like Southern California is just not designed for anything other than 80 degree weather. Like the walls are just wooden slats, and they don't have insulation here. They've never
it's
heard
not
of insulation here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it gets cold quick if it's not hot. So I think that is an accurate statement. Are you in Southern California right now, Dusty?
No, I'm actually in Asheville, North Carolina.
Okay,
nice.
Which is very nice, but it's cloudy. I'm right in front of a window trying my best to get some light in this dark hotel room. I spent a lot of time in just a sad hotel room. And they're all sad to me. And I don't know what happened. Yeah, I've been to so many hotels. They're all sad now.
Yeah.
Even the nice ones. I find the nicer the hotel, the sadder it is.
Oh, yeah. No.
At least a rundown hotel, you expect it to be sad. But when you walk into a nice place, you're like, oh, this is going to be happy. And then it's not.
Right. They have the lighting right. But everyone's still like, fuck you, man.
Yeah, you know, but it makes me happy to get out and do comedy. I spend half the day in my hotel room sad, and then I go, all right, now it's time to bring some happiness.
There you go. So you're down there doing shows in Asheville?
I did a show last night. I opened for Fortune Feimster, and we had a great time. And then tomorrow I'm on my way to Atlanta to do a show with Jeff Foxworthy.
Wow. Okay. So you run the gamut.
I'm all over the place all the time.
Yeah.
My schedule makes no sense. I'm flying here and driving here and this and that. It doesn't make any sense, but at least I get to fly a little bit. I like to say I make airplane money now. And you know what I mean?
There you go. You're not driving across states to get to gigs. That's real great.
Yeah.
Wait, Dusty, so I have a question for you. Do you find, because it seems like your audience could span a lot of different types of demographics. Is there like a certain type of person that's your typical fan?
I don't think so. I mean, I find that if people have ever been poor in their life, they love my comedy.
Right. That's what I loved most about it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I've got some weed, you know, and I also was, spent about 8-9 years as an alcoholic. And lots of people have struggled with that sort of thing. So they relate to that. Now I got several jokes about weed and about how weed's too strong now. And I think people are, I think they're really relating to that.
Yeah. I'm afraid to give my parents weed for that exact reason. They're like, I don't know, maybe. And I'm like, oh no. Yeah. Where would we start you?
I know. It's too intense. That's what, when I was a teenager, I used to like to smoke weed with people for the first time. It was a real joy to me.
Yeah.
To introduce. And now I'm like, no, if you've never done it, I don't want to be, I'm not introducing you to this drug now.
Yeah.
It's too late. You missed the train.
Get to answer questions about whether you hate them or not for an hour.
It used to be a fun, happy plant. Now it's drugs. You know what I mean?
Right in time for it to become legal.
Legalize.
Approachable by parents of all ages.
I got buddies doing dabs, and I'm like, that doesn't seem like weed to me. I don't know what that is, but if you're lighting weed with a torch, I saw somebody had to plug their bong into a wall to heat it up. I was like, I don't need it to be that hot.
Let me just start up this generator here so we can get high.
In my day, all you needed was a Bic and an apple, okay?
Yeah, exactly. We used to put ice in the bong to cool the smoke down. Now people are lighting it with a torch. I'm like, this doesn't seem right.
Yeah, that's aggressive. All right, Dusty, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple things we'll be talking about later on in the show. Somebody, Representative Mark Walker, who I am not familiar with, but he looks like he has a picture of Mitt Romney taped to his mirror. And he's just like, that's his inspiration when he gets dressed in the morning, does his hair. Anyways, he posted a picture of himself at a Waffle House. And there's just some things about it that kind of come off as false or like not authentically, like this man really likes Waffle House as much as he wants his constituents to believe he does. So we're going to talk about that. We might even talk about whether pillow fighting is going to be a Olympic sport and why it absolutely should be.
Oh, the average man can compete.
Yes.
Get ready, Olympics. Here I come. I'm ready.
Why it maybe should be the only Olympic sport.
Truly.
All of that, plenty more. But first, Dusty, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
Oh, you know, I was looking at some things and these were all like of all the things that was the hardest one for me because you were like, what's something that would tell people about you? But you know what? I've been searching a lot of fruit trees. I bought a little bit of land and I'm trying to build an Amish cabin on the land. And I'd like to get a little bit. An orchard sounds fancy, but what I'd like to do is just plant some fruit trees and then let them grow. And then I can just go out and eat fruit right off the tree. That's what I'm
living the dream.
That's what I'm into. I mean, that's what I like about the country and just, you know, it's like you just can grow things. I grew a little bit of stuff this year. I grew, you know, and I got into it. I always say if I had to live off of what I grew, then I would be dead. But
right. Wait, so are you like into cottagecore?
Oh, I don't know what that is. I could be into that, though.
So cottagecore is a category on like Instagram, and it's like just aesthetically beautiful cottages.
Basically. Oh, I'm going to get into that. Yeah. Cottage. Okay. Yes. Yeah, I'll find that. I love that. I mean, I'm all about it. I'm all about just being able to, I got into this thing. I watched a documentary called Earthing. And it's where you just walk around on the land barefooted and you're, they say that we're electrical beings, you know? And so we connect mm-hmm. to the earth and we ground and it takes out a lot of inflammation and it resets us. I don't know if it's true, but I'm into the idea that you could potentially heal yourself by just walking barefooted. Again, I don't know if it's true, but it's easy to try.
Yeah. I feel like there's definitely a calling back to the land for a lot of people, like in the pandemic. I mean, we have so many guests on the show who are like, no, I moved back south, got a little land, am growing things. Like, this is a story we've heard a couple of times. It's something I've certainly considered. I don't think I could survive in a not city space. I have ADD and like, how am I going to keep everything together? You got to remember to like pickle your stuff and then label the jars. It's just never going to happen for me. But I really admire everybody who's doing it and getting out there. And it's like, no, I'm going to build a space that like both replenishes me spiritually and also sort of allows me to invest in a space that is my own instead of, you know, I don't know, renting an apartment with 60 other people.
I agree with you on both of those things because I like being around where stuff is going on. Right. Like I grew up kind of in the country and it's like, I just remember dreaming of like, I'd love to be around some people.
Yes. Right? Take me to a museum.
And my wife grew up in the country in Canada. And like, she said the same thing. She's like, when I was growing up, I just wanted to be around people. And she moved to Toronto for 10 years and loved it. And so I want a little bit of both if it's manageable. I want to escape to the cottage core, you know, and just get out there. Yes. Is that what it is, cottage core?
Yes, correct.
Yes.
The core of cottage.
I just want to get out there and just hear the birds.
I love it.
And is cottage core, like hardcore music is a thing. Is cottage core music just like Taylor Swift? Is that basically?
That's not what I would be listening to out there.
Mm-mm. Right. Yeah.
But, okay. No, Taylor Swift is for the girls in the city who sort of sometimes think about the country. But I think cottage core would be more like traditional bluegrass.
Okay.
You know, you might get some guitars happening there. Yeah, I think it's much more we're making our teas from scratch. Like we picked our different tea leaves and we're blending it with berries. And it's very much about like that old stove that your grandma had and fixing it up. And now it looks nice. And it's somewhat modern, but very reminiscent of a time where it's just peaceful and glorious. We're getting our Laura Ingalls Wilder on.
And
it's
just
nice.
Some old man sitting on a stump playing guitar for you.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
But like a guitar in a way you didn't think he could play. It's just magical.
Right.
Butterflies are landing on his shoulders.
Yeah.
That's what I'm
into.
Little
jug music. I have ADD too. Yeah. I feel like I'd have, I was just trying to picture like what a orchard would look like. I feel like I would have one corn. Like not a cornfield, but
one
like
corn.
A corn, you know, like a stalk of corn that would give me one piece of corn on the cob for the year. And then
what a delicious day that would be, though.
Right. But that would be worth it.
There's a thing that people are getting into. They call the food forest, where what would normally be a regular forest is a forest of fruit trees. And instead of ivy, it's grapevines and that's what I want to create. That's what I'm trying to get into.
That. Yeah, that sounds wonderful.
It's great. Yeah, my neighbors have this like ancient lemon tree. They're like, it's extremely old and it bears so much fruit. They gave us a whole like Target bag full of lemons. And they're like, could you use all this? I'm like, I will make so much lemonade. Don't even. It's amazing. I've dreamed of fruit trees forever. They're
this
great.
This is literally life giving you lemons here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in the best way possible. You're like, this is fresh grown lemon.
We have a lemon tree, too, and it's the best thing because squirrels fucking hate lemons. That's, like, the most important thing about lemons is that squirrels hate them. So, like, every other food just gets eaten the second it, like, hits the point of ripeness. The squirrels have, like, a series of alarm clocks, and they know exactly when everything's gonna get ripe and just eat that shit. But lemons, they don't fuck with. And so, yeah, you bountiful lemon harvest around the clock in our backyard. Which is nice. My one issue is, so we just tried to get loquat trees because one of our friends had a loquat tree and my kids were in their yard and they started eating them and they were just like so good. They're really delicious. And then so I ordered some loquat trees and got them shipped in the mail. It's a cool product or a cool like service they offer. But they come and they're like two, they just look like two branches that you like put in the ground. And they seem like they're about 7 years from having a loquat on them. Like if we could get some sort of tree speeding up technology, I think that would be useful.
Just like a ray gun. We just want to scan the tree and like help it get up there. I feel you. I think when I think about like planting an apple tree from seed to actually getting a fruit, it's like a ridiculous long time, like at least a decade. Who has it? Yeah. I don't.
I know. Okay. That's why what I am trying to do is get the fruit trees out there now and then forget about them. You know, not forget in the sense that I don't take care of them, but forget they're out there. And then, you know, in years to come, because I'm always like, that's what happens in my head. I go, oh, well, if I plant it now, it'll be 10 years. But it's like, had I done this 10 years ago, I would already be eating apples off my tree.
Yeah.
My grandfather planted apples and pears and figs and where my dad lives. And my dad went out there and bulldozed all the apple trees down. He was like, I got tired of cutting grass around them. I was like, jeez, dude.
Dad,
I was like, come on.
Trees. Oh, no.
I mean, I got to say, the book, The Giving Tree, is pro-tree propaganda because it suggests that trees are just giving and giving. And you just, you know, forget about them and take and take. But it's really the opposite. For a long time, you got to take care of them and they're not giving you shit.
That's true.
And, you know, I'm tired of it. Loquat trees. Yeah, it's the taking tree for quite a bit. It's also the saddest book in the history of the world. Once you're a parent and you realize it's like a metaphor for parenthood.
I was going to say, that seems like what kids are like, you know, as a kid, they're just take, take, take. And then they get older and hopefully they start to give.
Yeah. Well,
there's some debate about that too.
Yeah,
I got some family that I hope they don't listen, but I got some family that's they're takers.
Yeah, they're takers. I think we all do. All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and find out what you think is overrated and underrated.
All right.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And Dusty, we do like to ask our guests, what is something that you think is overrated?
Well, I feel like I gave it away in the beginning, but I thought of it and then I brought it up when we weren't ready for it. But I think what's overrated is nice hotels. But I have a deeper explanation. Right. I don't want to be in a Motel 6 or a Red Roof Inn. But I mean, unless you got unlimited money supply, the fancy hotel, way overrated. You get in there, no one's that nice to you. They charge you for everything. You pay so much for the room, and then you get up to your room, and then you got to pay for Wi-Fi. You got to pay for coffee. There's no free breakfast. Not that the breakfast that's free is ever any good, but they make you pay for everything. And then usually if you want to park a car, it's another $50 a night. And I'm like, Give me a good in between. I'm at a Country Inn and Suites right now. Ooh. And it is not that nice, but I slept so good. And I also feel like no one looks at me suspiciously. I look like that I should be at the Country Inn and Suites. Everybody's right. Like, yes, he belongs here. And it's okay. But if I'm in a nice hotel, people wonder what I'm doing in there.
I like a nice hotel. Like when I was a film critic, you know, studios would fly you wherever and put you up and then be like, you have a $250 day per diem. Bam. That's room service, baby. That's amazing. Like, I agree with you. Like, I've never been to a really great hotel where the bed was better than an average hotel. They're not spending money on extra mattresses. Your sleep is definitely not better. A lot of good hotels have great rooms that are sky high prices. And then every other room is average without a view. Here's a hole.
Yeah, you're paying for the right to stay in the same building as that really nice hotel.
To impress your Lyft driver. They're like, oh, you're staying here? Yeah, man, it's great. And for the 2-second high of like, man, somebody thought I was really doing it here.
Yeah.
But otherwise, they're basic.
You know, it's like, I do believe that they're overrated, but also like when I filmed Netflix in New York City, they put me up in a hotel and every day I sat in a chair and drank coffee and looked out the window at the city. And I was like, this is pretty nice. Yeah. You know what I mean? This is a little better than the Country Inn and Suites.
Yeah.
Right now I'm looking at a parking lot in some woods.
That's different. It's different.
I don't mind the free breakfast at the Country Inn and Suites with the cinnamon raisin bagel with cellophane on it. Sometimes they have the conveyor belt toaster and also the snack pack cereal, the little cereal snack packs.
I like the cereal in the thing where you twist it and then it just falls out into
Little bit stale.
This feels fresh.
Yeah, and sometimes you just get a big dump of sugar, which is always what I'm looking for in any sweetened cereal is like that last like chunk at the bottom. Where
like
it's
Frosted Mini Wheats, when you crunch them up, I like to crunch up a few and put in the bowl. That way at the end, there's just some sugar bites.
Yeah, and it doesn't destroy your mouth when you try and eat it.
Exactly.
Yeah. True. What is something you think is underrated?
I think black coffee is underrated, right? And this is what, like, I go to the Starbucks all the time, and I get it. If, you know, a lot of those drinks are very tasty, and it's great, but it's like, in the morning, people are basically getting a milkshake to start the day. Or people are drinking a Red Bull or a Sparks. I don't know what the names of them are. There's a lot of crazy energy drinks where I'm like, a good black coffee, it's soothing to drink, but also you feel awake and you never need anything. You're never like, oh, I got to get some cream. I got to get some sugar. It's just, it just comes out like that. And I love a good black coffee.
Yeah.
The problem with black coffee is finding a coffee that is brewed correctly. And I feel like, because if I go to Starbucks, it's a 75-25 split on how good is my coffee, literally any drink going to be, but specifically coffee, they don't really care. You could go to a, like
Groundworks?
Yes, yes. Okay, so like these upscale coffee places are, maybe you're going to hit like 85% of the time, you're pretty good, but you're still not going to hit that like perfect cup of coffee. My friend figured out, like, she got the big coffee craft and she weighs her grounds beforehand and she buys them from an independent distributor, and that is really good coffee. And I feel like, yeah, it's ruined me for all other black coffees. I can't go back to, you know, my Folgers in my little pot. It's just, it's not hitting anymore.
I mean, it's a drug. You might as well treat it like one and weigh it out and do all that shit.
Yeah, Folgers is out. There's no you cannot drink Folgers. And every time I go to Starbucks, I order black coffee. Every time my first sip, I go, ugh. I mean, yeah, it's like,
yeah, they want to hurt you. They want to give you. I do love that when you were referencing energy drinks, you mentioned Sparks. I think you and I might have been drinking too much around the same time in the recent history, because I think that's long gone. But that was a orange soda energy malt liquor combination that,
okay,
did get me through many long nights.
Yeah, I probably had a few of those. I mean, I used to do the Jaeger bombs, that they called them, that was the Jaeger and Red Bull that you would chew.
Right.
I was a big fan of those.
Yeah. I don't know what was up with our generation being like, we need energy drinks with our liquor. I once got lost for several hours on a Four Loko. And by lost, I mean, I drank a can of Four Loko, told my friends I was going for a walk in the dead of night, and came back thinking I had gone around the block, and they're like, it has been hours. Where were you? I was like, no, I just went around the block.
Are
they're
looking
like,
for you.
That's definitely not what happened.
You come back, they're all holding hands, like doing the human sweep for like the.
That sounds like a Four Loko and a hit of acid, you know?
Right. Yeah.
I don't think we were doing acid that night, but we might have been.
I think the thing that about our generation that made that switch is that we learned that cocaine was not healthy for you. I think previous generations just like did cocaine like it was a vitamin that just helped be
stay
extra
up
peppy.
A little. Just do a bump in the bathroom. It's fine.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
You could always do Adderall and drink, but it always made me like a zombie. I would do Adderall and I could drink all night, but I never felt drunk. And I was like a zombie.
Yeah. I used to drink to clean because I drinking helped me deal with boredom. And so I just drink and do really boring shit. And that's how you know you should stop drinking, folks. One other thing. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the milkshake thing with the coffee in the morning. Like, we talked, I think, last week about how Coffee Mate, which is something that I was consuming at the rate that, like, most families go through, like, gallons of milk. I was drinking so much hazelnut Coffee Mate for a long time. And it apparently, so the context was a story about foods that we have in America that are banned in other countries. And Coffee Mate is not only banned in other countries, it should be banned here, according to, like, the laws. It has, like, stuff in it that is, like, yeah, no, this, like, goes directly into your arteries. Like, this is,
oh,
this
my
is
God,
killing you.
There's so many foods like that that are banned in other countries that we're, like, eating. Like, you eat like it's healthy, you know?
Yeah. I mean, Mountain Dew is the one that I will not give up, but
this is devastating. Someone find us a hazelnut flavoring that won't kill us. Hazelnut coffee is everything. It's clearly
hazelnut
like the superior
great.
Flavor.
I think it's the fact that like it's basically chemically like lab produced lard is the problem. It's not the
Coffee Mate
flavor,
right? Not the hazelnut coffee. Coffee.
Yeah.
The Coffee Mate.
Yeah, it's not. Wow. It's not the hazelnut of it all. It's the
disappointing.
Yeah, it is a little disappointing. And I have switched to matcha, which I do recommend, as annoying as that makes me. If you don't mind feeling like you have the flu for like 3 weeks, once you are off coffee and onto something that's slightly less caffeinated, I've had probably like 50% fewer panic attacks. So, highly recommend. Okay. And it also looks cool. Like, it looks like a, I don't know, looks magical. It's like bright green. Kind of cool to drink something bright green right in the morning.
And you get that little brush and you circle in the morning. I love anything that has a process to it.
Yeah.
It's a great way to start your day.
Yeah.
It really felt like the Coffee Mate conversation made us all a little sad.
It did.
We're all just like, ah, fuck.
And my grandma drinks Coffee Mate. God damn it.
Yeah. I mean, it has, like, it's such a classic, you know? Like, I remember, yeah, any institution, any church, you got the big, like, silver thing of coffee, silver, like, chest of coffee, and then next to it, the Coffee Mate. They really, one of the more trusted things in my refrigerator that turns out doctors are like, oh, my God, no. Anyway, speaking of things that make doctors say, oh, my God, no. Waffle House. So this dude, Representative Mark Walker, I like intentionally did not look up who he is because, again, I didn't want to make myself sad, but he's like a politician of some sort. And he did a Instagram photo op, or I guess it was on Twitter, and it's just a picture of him in a suit at a Waffle House. And the caption is, "It's not for the faint of heart or DC elites, but there is nothing like late night Waffle House on the campaign trail." He couldn't look more like he just got out of a makeup chair in this picture. His suit pressed, just hair perfect. And his Waffle House order sucks. It's just white toast, plain hash browns, plain disc of eggs, one sausage patty. And
can we also talk about how uncomfortable he looks in this booth?
Yeah.
It feels like he's like, this is dirty and I need to leave him. He's right by the door, which is the worst place you could sit in a Waffle House. Like, clearly a novice. You're going to get all of the foot traffic, that cold blast of air. That's cold. You want to be in the back booth near the teenagers or couple that's fighting. That's where you sit and you get your entertainment with your meal.
Right.
I don't believe it. I don't buy it.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to the Waffle House more times than I can count, and I don't know that I've ever taken a picture of myself in the Waffle House.
This may be a first. Like, certainly there are, like, World Star videos and, like, people pulling out cameras when, like, a fight starts, but usually that's out in the parking lot. But you get the sense from this picture that there's somebody behind the camera with, like, one of those, like, lighting umbrella things. That,
oh, God.
Like, it looks like a professional photo shoot, down to him looking like me, like, when I was 6 years old, like, getting my picture taken at Sears. Like, he just looks like somebody stuffed him into that suit.
And I can't, like, see the picture, but also it's like, who's going to the Waffle House in a suit?
Yes.
It's like, even if you've been working all day, you know, I don't know. I imagine there's a tie. I would say pop off the tie, lose the jacket, unbutton it a little bit.
Yeah. So he does have an unbuttoned. He did. Okay. He did get that note
from his
consultant and is not wearing a tie. Has his collar open down one button.
Okay.
But is also, like, sitting very stiffly. And you know what? You're not alone. Our listeners can't see the picture either. So that's a good reminder.
Well,
that's the best thing that you can do on a podcast is just talk about a picture nobody can see.
Yep.
The Waffle House is so fun, though. I met a guy from New Jersey once. I was working with him, and he said he had never been to the Waffle House. And I was like, okay, well, let's go right now. And I wanted it to be a good experience because he had never been. And I walk in, and there's an older waitress there, and she's like, welcome to Waffle House. And I was like, how you doing? She's like, I'm tired, and I could use a cigarette, but people keep coming in here. And I was like, perfect.
This is exactly why we came here. See, and I feel like I take a real issue with the statement, like, it's not for. Anything after that is incorrect. Waffle House is for everybody, okay? Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is our version of the British pub, okay? Everybody can come in here at the same time and get treated to the exact same terrible service. Maybe you'll see the people in back fighting. That's my favorite, okay? If the cooks are fighting, you know you found the best Waffle House because for whatever reason, their food is better. Who hasn't been? Like, if you haven't been to a Waffle House, either because you just don't live in proximity of one, or for some reason, you've deluded yourself into thinking that you're better than Waffle House. And I don't think there's that many people out there who doesn't like late night pancakes. It's like one of God's gifts to the world. It's perfect.
Yeah, especially when you're drinking. I mean, there's not, I mean, I used to drink and drive all the time. I'm not promoting it, but I'm saying you're driving along and you're like, oh, I could get in trouble. Let's pull into the Waffle House, soak up some of this alcohol here, have a good time, yell with the other people in there. You know, it's a great time. Nobody at the Waffle House is ever like, I don't think you should drive. They're like, get out of here.
Get out of here, you scamp. Yeah.
Yeah. In college, I lived in the gayborhood known as Boys Town in Chicago, and we were walking distance from an IHOP. And, you know, 2 a.m. pancakes, 15 gay kids in their club gear. Like, it's... I feel like that's all my best memories are from that, like, parking lot, like, chain smoking, trying to figure out, like, when the next party is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's an institution.
I remember when I could smoke cigarettes inside the Waffle House, and that was a real time period that I enjoyed. I mean, I quit smoking now, so I wouldn't enjoy it now.
No, no.
But as a smoker, I'm like, let me smoke in here.
Yeah. If you were fortunate enough to spend 6 hours in a booth talking about nothing and chain smoking while your waiter's very upset at you for taking up too much of their time, it was a moment. It was a moment in history. And I wouldn't want to go back, but I do sort of miss it.
Yeah. Now only the guy at the grill is allowed to smoke. Everybody else has to go outside.
I used to work at a Western Sizzlin'. I don't know if you know what that is. It's like a Golden Corral without all the class, you know? And it's, and we used to, you know, you had smoking sections in there, and I would wait tables, and you just pass through this like smoke filled area. And we would smoke cigarettes while we rolled silverware. You know, that's how I learned to smoke without using my hands. You know, you just let it. And it's a great time. I don't know. That story's going nowhere, but it is a good time.
I could never master not getting a bunch of smoke in my eyes. It was hands were necessary. Also, the most impressive skill to watch an old lady like bite her cigarette and like French exhale and like count up all her money at the same time. I'm like, this ma'am, she's a pro. She's been through some stuff and she's a survivor. Yeah. An inspiration.
She doesn't really mind the smoke in her eyes, you know?
Yeah. Right. That's the least of her worries. Yeah.
Just a second hit that you're getting. That's the second entry point right there. The closing one eye is also, so you got it out of one side of the mouth and then that eye is closed while you're still able to do your job. So I wanted to just put this in the conversation. It's definitely, it's up there. I don't know if it enters the pantheon, but I wanted to talk about some other celebrity moments where they are trying to get like cred and clearly revealing themselves to be robots or just like living on a different planet. So you've got this person's idol, I'm assuming, Mitt Romney, who in a speech said, my favorite meat is hot dog, by the way.
Oh boy.
That is my favorite meat. And then he followed that up by, my second favorite meat is hamburger. And everyone says, oh, don't you prefer steak? It's like, I know steaks are great, but I like hot dog best. And I like hamburger next best.
That sounds like a robot. And that's AI technology trying to come up with a sentence.
And the only one of those three that he knows how to like pluralize and like actually use correctly is steak, which is the only one he's ever actually eaten. And then the other ones, he's like, I love hot dog. Like, that's not how
even a type
that,
of hot
man.
Dog.
Yeah.
No one's favorite meat is hot dog, right? Hot dog is not a meat. It's many things. But even it's like it could be beef, it could be pork, it could be chicken, but that's no one's favorite. I love a hot dog, but there's no way if you're like, all
you
right,
love a hot dog. Yeah, you don't love dog.
A hot dog or a steak. I'm like, okay, give me a steak. Or a hot dog or some rice and broccoli. I might go, you know what? I'll take the rice and broccoli. Hot dog's way low on the list. And I'm a fan of it, of a hot dog. Not all of them. Just one.
Right. And hamburger is also such a strange way to describe hamburgers.
Yes. My favorite meat is hot dog and hamburger. You don't know what those are, do you?
You've never used that word out loud, it would seem.
It is fun when politicians try to relate. There was a little like a de Blasio thing at one point where he was talking about if you get, you know, if you can get a free hamburger and then the way he's biting it, it's like, have you ever eaten a hamburger before? He was like, oh, no.
That's a great one that I didn't have on this list.
You're too rich for the hamburger talk.
Yeah.
You know,
and he's like, he seems a little surprised at what's happening in his mouth. And he's like, oh, it's the French fries.
Yeah. So many celebrities do the same thing where it's like they're trying to relate to people. And it's like, it may not even be your fault. You've just been too rich for too long. It's not right. your fault. You have everything.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, you got to stay at the Country Inn and Suites once in a while.
Yeah. I had on the list Garth Brooks joining Facebook, but it's not, it's probably not in the same conversation. It doesn't have anything to do with food. It's just his. Yeah. If you haven't seen the video of him announcing that he's joining Facebook, I highly recommend you watch it.
That's another person. He's been rich for at least 30 years. And it's how do you live in reality? Like, I'm on Facebook now. And it's like, well, that's been around for a while. And
congratulations. I mean, it was early in the Facebook run, but it was just the strangest thing. It's not even worth talking about because it's like you just kind of have to watch it to watch like him addressing the camera and his like stage presence and the sense you get that like this is take number 17. And I don't know. But like he also seems to want to fuck you in the video. Like he's like looking at the anyways. I think my all-time favorite is when Gwyneth Paltrow claimed that she was going to try and live off $29 in groceries for a week because that is what families on SNAP, i.e. food stamps in her words, have to live on for a week. And so she posted a picture, said, this is what $29 gets you at the grocery store, you know, what families on SNAP have to live on. And it's like one of the things that she has in there is 7 limes. She bought 7 limes. She has bok choy.
You got $29, limes is not making the cut.
Limes is not making the cut. It's like clearly an Erewhon. Also, like she would not be able to buy that much.
But $29, you're buying your favorite meat hot dog.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You got to explain what Erewhon is to the folks who are not here, who don't know.
And to me.
It's a supercharged like Whole Foods. It's like, but what if Whole Foods was more expensive is basically what Erewhon is, right?
Yeah, it's just super fancy. It's a grocery store trying to be a farmer's market. You know what right. I mean? They're like adjacent, but they don't have to like put up stalls every week. The ladies love it. I haven't been to one. I just found out there's one in the Valley. Apparently parking is great. So get it if you love it. What I like about this is there's no, her tweet doesn't say if it's like, oh, this is not enough food, or, you know, we could be doing more. There's no, like, call to action based on. She's just like, you could buy this for $29 at a grocery store. Thank you, Gwyneth. Right. I've been to a grocery store. I know. Like, what was the point of posting this?
It's one lime for each day of the week so that you don't get scurvy.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe that's
what
she thinks.
You can have it with your one egg for breakfast with a tortilla.
Yeah.
And she's got black beans and rice, a single jalapeno, and a single sweet potato. Your children are starving, is what she's saying.
Yeah. She could have bought enough black beans and rice for a week if she hadn't bought 7 fucking limes and bok choy. But yeah, I think that lasted. Her week-long experiment lasted less than a week.
He's like, I'm a human. Look at me.
Look at me. Guys,
it's not
I
her
get
fault.
It.
Her, she was born rich. She doesn't know. She's shocked that you can buy milk for so cheap. She's like, it's only $5? My God.
Yeah.
Amazing.
What could a banana possibly cost? $17? I forget what the guess is
that
on
was a good one.
Arrested Development. Also, she has 1 tomato in there. Just
a single head of garlic, guys.
Yeah.
Gwynnie's not flavoring her food.
I mean, you read off the list, I'm like, this is honestly not bad for $29.
It's not.
I mean, I'm like, okay, we got quite a bit. You keep adding things. I'm like, oh, okay, because I can't see the picture. I'm like, this is actually a pretty good grocery list. I should take her shopping with me because I need some help.
Right. Yeah, it does feel like she might be like bragging about how much she was able to get for her.
See, that's a much more interesting post.
Right.
Yeah.
Look at all this stuff I got. It's only $29. Can you believe it?
Supermarket sweep style.
If celebrities would just say, call us idiots and stuff, I think that'd be more fun. They're like, you know what I mean? If they're like, we can do it, you can too, idiots.
Right. Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about Olympic pillow fighting.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this. I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black. Directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R. Under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And so last year at the Olympic Games, that I don't remember. Like, I don't remember them at all. Like,
we were too traumatized to form memories at that time, which is why I think we have to stop having big events. People are like, oh, I'm like, I still think it's 2020. I'm not caught up.
They were in Tokyo. And they had them already. And I do a daily news show. I definitely talked about them. There's probably hours of me talking about these Olympics. I don't remember them at all. Anyways, there's more Olympics starting right now.
I remember one thing, and I don't remember what country it was in. I don't even know I don't know anything about the Olympics, but I know that whatever country it was taking place in, there was a person competing that was from the country, and there was no one in the arena to cheer for them. And I just thought, you work your entire life to make the Olympics. You're the hometown hero, and no one can cheer for you. It's so sad.
It's a hollow experience, and we must stop until we can have them safely. Bananas.
Yeah, I mean, it's so sad. It's like, I made the Olympics, and it's like a pep rally with no one to cheer. What's the point?
Right. You just run through that piece of paper and there's just no one there. Just an echo of the sound of paper tearing. So one of the things it sounds like all three of us missed is that a German pentathlon coach literally punched a horse.
No.
Yeah. So that, which I didn't know there was a horse riding portion of the pentathlon. Is that the one that where you shoot guns too? Are there guns involved in the pentathlon?
What? Listen, I'm not an athlete. I have no idea what a pentathlon is. I wonder why one man punching a horse canceled an entire event, though. We're looking it up. What is a contest featuring five events? It is the one where you shoot the gun.
Okay.
Oh, does it involve punching at all, or does this guy, he just got upset?
So, lest you judge, I think the puncher was a woman. It was Kim Raisner punched a horse ahead of the women's competition in August. So, like, apparently, yeah, there's, it's horse riding, gun shooting. What else? Like, running?
Standing long jump, discus throw.
Okay.
Greco-Roman wrestling? But that was from the 1906 versions.
Horses can be aggressive. What led to the punch?
So competitors could not meet their horses until shortly before the horse riding portion of the competition began. I don't know if that was COVID related. I don't know why they couldn't meet or if they normally can. But several riders struggled with their horses. One such rider was Germany's Annika Schlu, and her coach tried to talk some sense into the horse by punching it in the face and did not work. The horse refused to jump. And so they decided to cancel that event from the pentathlon and are now talking about what they're going to replace it with.
Okay, and to be fair, it has to be an unfamiliar horse. So you are riding a horse you have no experience riding. That's not me condoning violence against horses. Okay. I don't think punching the horse would do literally anything except make the horse mad and possibly buck your rider. Like, what was the point of it? But I am now fascinated that this has not become like a social media thing, because it requires fencing, pistol shooting, freestyle swimming, show jumping on an unfamiliar horse, and then a cross-country run. I need to know who has mastered all of these things enough to take it to the Olympics. I want to know what their daily life is like, because I imagine you can never stop training. Like, regular Olympians, like, if you're just doing, like, the hurdles, you're practicing hurdles every damn day, hours a day, getting that hurdle right. But you have to do five. This is so much.
It feels like the Olympic event version of, like, those Guinness World Records where the person just, like, made some shit up to do that would, like, that they could do because they were the only one who thought to do it.
Maybe someone couldn't win each individual event and they were like, you know what? But I'll challenge you to all of them. Right. I'll challenge you to all of them.
Grab bag it up. So according to a recent Instagram post by the International Modern Pentathlon Union Athletes Committee, some of the sports that they're considering to replace the horse jumping, show jumping on an unfamiliar horse, which does seem wildly specific, are less specific things like roller skating, which I kind of like. I don't know if it would be a roller skating race or like a roller skating just like dance off. Bike riding, also drone racing.
No, that's too far in the field. I don't like that. The Olympics should be about physical strength.
Only if they ride the drone.
Only if they can drive the drone.
There it is.
If you just ride into the Olympic, whatever, opening ceremonies being like propelled by drones, that would be cool. And then finally, pillow fighting, which some pentathletes were even like, wait, is that last one a joke? But apparently not. Pillow fighting is being considered a legitimate sport now. And there's a league and everything. They just had the first pillow fight championships last weekend in Florida. So, you know, it's legit. The pay-per-view event reportedly featured hardcore swinging with a specialized pillow. And people who competed were MMA fighters, reality TV stars, bare knuckle boxers, mechanics, single moms, and veterinarians.
Okay.
Wow. This
I see what's
like
going on here.
Trying to take out some COVID aggression.
Yeah.
One, a great way to take out some COVID aggression. Two, this is absolutely someone thinking about ratings, right? So the one thing I do remember about Tokyo is that they added skateboarding. X Games gets tons of views every year. It's very exciting. It's an established sport, easy to get enough competitors in there. I wonder if, I guess because it's one of five events in a smaller category, that you could probably train. Oh my God, training for a pillow fight. But you could probably get enough athletes to be like, okay, if that's the thing, like, let's go. I want my Olympic medal. What I have to say is, do they have to wear these uniforms? Now, if you can't see the picture, but I'll just describe. It looks like a terry cloth 1920s bathing suit.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's what it looks like. And then their pillows are like maybe silk cased. If you remember the like Rock'em Sock'em robots, what are those pillow hand fist things? They were inflatable.
Sock'em boppers. Like,
thank you. Sock'em boppers. That's what, but in pillow form is what it looks like.
Listen, I don't know what a sock'em bopper is.
I like that in the list of people, they included mechanics. That's just funny to me. I don't know why, but they were like MMA fighters, bare knuckle boxers, mechanics.
Veterinarians.
All the same kind of people. Single moms. Let's
Anyone
go.
Can do it. Yeah. Anyone can get punched by a bare knuckle boxer, you know?
Yeah. Maybe the veterinarians thing was like a play to horses to be like, this one's going to be so much easier for you guys than that last one. But yeah, the mechanics is confusing. Like, riding a bike, it does seem like the equivalent of like maybe if there was bike jumping, like you had to like jump a bike because it's like a horse that you can't punch or people won't get mad if you punch a bike, I guess. But this, like adding a combat sport that like presumably no pentathlete has ever attempted is actually kind of fun. I was about to criticize it, and then I realized that they should do that every Olympics. There should be a wild card fifth event that you can just like guarantee nobody has any experience in and throw it on them like the day of the event and see how
and
they
the internet
do.
Gets to vote. And my first pitch is pirate ship battle. It's pirate a team ship. Sport.
Oh, yeah. I'm
you guys
that.
Got it. Instead of like cannons, you have like paintballs, but they're like giants that you put in a cannon, you know? So you're just getting splattered with paint. Ship most covered in paint loses. Done.
Yeah.
And then if
I mean,
Olympics,
then if,
give
yeah,
us this
oh,
level
okay.
of sports.
Paintball is a pretty good idea for an Olympic sport.
I was going to say, if you lose, then it becomes a swimming event, you know?
There you go. There you go. But so. Pillow fighting championships have been a thing for a while in Japan, and the All Japan Pillow Fighting Championships were apparently inspired by pillow fights held by Japanese students on school trips. They apparently have school trip money in Japan for take their kids on school trips more than once. But the rules are, it's like a team sport. It sounds like team dodgeball, if you've ever played that or witnessed that, but with pillows. Except it has like fun things, like everybody starts in a sleeping bag. Like you have to, like when they blow the whistle, everyone's in like laying down under a comforter. And then you have to like run up, like jump out of bed, grab a pillow, start throwing it at each other. And when somebody yells, the teacher is coming, then everybody like has to run back to their futon, pick up
amazing
more pillows. And then there's a captain who you defend with a duvet.
I'm in. Let's do it.
Is this real rules or did you just create that right now?
No, that's real.
In the Japanese game, okay. That's how they play.
That's a Japanese game that is established and has been for a number of years that we are choosing to turn our back on in America for some reason and just doing one-on-one.
And throw ours in a boxing ring, which is dumb. Yeah.
Boring.
Like, that's so much less exciting than, like, here's a literally a team event and the ability to defend in a dodgeball. So that's revolutionary, okay? You can only defend in dodgeball if you're good at bouncing the ball off the ball already in your hands. And eventually you have to throw that ball. So it's a temporary defense, like, strategy. But the idea of using an entire comforter to protect your team captain, chef's kiss, man. That's what we've got real game, like, stats in here now.
It brings some like bullfighting panache to it because like you could just be like the sickest with the comforter. You could just be doing all sorts of wild shit.
Imagine multiple people using comforters and now you don't know where the captain is. You got to figure it out. Got to break it down. Your captain can be moving in secret, getting ready to like nail the other team's captain. This is thrilling.
Yeah.
It's thrilling. I would absolutely watch this level of pillow fights. at the Olympics. The Olympics should be more fun. It takes itself way too seriously. They're like, we're going to start in Rome. We're going to run a torch around. Like, blah, 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 blah. We've seen it. It's good. It's fine. It's whatever. But if you really want to get spicy, like, bring me a paintball championship. I want to see actual school-level pillow fights. I want to see pirate ship battles for sure. Just, you get that one for free. You don't have to pay me anything. I just want the benefit of watching grown people paintball, but with pirate ships.
Is that a thing you just made up, or is that a thing that exists? Okay. All right.
That came whole from my brain. I would invest money in it. I would absolutely be a ship captain in it. It's D&D, but a whole like extra level of it.
Yeah. Oh,
beautiful.
No, the ancient, it was either Greece or Rome. They would like fill up like stadiums with water and have like military ship battles in front of people. Like that was the thing.
Sure you did. Could listen. Do. Way to give like, a historical context, Jack. I'm putting that in the pitch. Like, you guys have already done this. We're just modernizing it.
There it is.
I'm for it. Let's do it. American gladiators of the Olympics with pirate ships.
I mean, love American gladiators is fun, and the Olympics could use some of that. I miss American gladiators. Also, the most fun I've ever had was both like having a pillow fight that I was winning, getting a lot of clean shots in, and then got like knocked out clean by a pillow. Like that. Sometimes pillow fights are very violent.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to compete in it. I don't want to be in the event. I don't like being hit. I've been punched many times. I don't want to be hit by anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do a fun one, guys. All right. Well, Dusty, it's been truly a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you and follow you?
Well, I really appreciate you guys having me. My website is dustyslay.com. All my social media is at Dusty Slay. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, very fun stuff. And that's, I mean, you can find me there. I'm there, you know, posting videos and stupid pictures.
There you go.
But it's a good time.
And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
I don't, you know, there is a thing on Instagram that I've seen recently, and I don't know. I may have forgot what it's. Oh, it's called Good News_Movement, and it's just positive stuff. It's good things happening to people and people having good times, and you know. I don't know. It's fun. I mean, the internet can be a real negative black hole of death. And when you find something that's good news, it feels fun.
There you go.
But it's like, I was thinking about videos and I'm like, I consume so much content that who even can remember a thing that they saw?
Right.
I mean, I would recommend if you're really looking for something on the internet, pop over to Netflix, watch The Stand-Up Season 3, Episode 5.
Yes.
Watch all of the episodes, but watch mine. I would say watch mine first and often, but do watch the others because everyone's very funny on there. It's a great season.
Yeah, Brian Simpson was on earlier this week and last week, and we've had Naomi Ekperigin on before, and just
all
really
funny.
An incredible lineup. Joelle, where can people find you, and what is a tweet you've been enjoying?
Well, y'all know me. I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique. It's JoelleMoniqueUE. My tweets have been so serious, but listen, it's a niche tweet. You have to know the people involved. But someone said Max Wolf, I can't say his handle. It's a lot happening there. But someone said Lynn Whitfield may always play evil, but she has never played broke. And I know that's right. And that's true. If you all know who Lynn Whitfield is, always plays bad bitch, always has money. And I really respect that out of an actor just being like, listen, I don't have to have the largest roles, but I'm just never playing broke. An aspiration. Way to set goals for your life, Lynn. You did it.
Lynn Whitfield. Where do we know Lynn Whitfield from?
If you watch a lot of black television, you know Lynn Whitfield from everywhere. Let's pull up some of Lynn Whitfield's.
Between Love and Hate, Eve's Bayou.
Yes.
Okay.
She did Ty Perry's Madea Family Reunion. She did the Josephine Baker Story, which I think was a TV movie back in 1991. And yes, she played the mama in Greenleaf, which if you like church drama, which I do, you can enjoy that. It's. Listen, Lynn Whitfield holds it down for the black community, and we love her.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. Tweet I've been enjoying, Hannah Black tweeted, interviewer, can you explain this gap in your resume? Me, it was then that I carried you. great answer.
Well, that's a lot of fun. That's a lot of fun. I also like that you said if you enjoy church drama. I had not heard that genre of film before, but I'm into it.
Yeah.
It's a strong one. Southern Baptist, like black messy family running the church, lots of people getting saved from their sins. Someone's definitely cheating. There's a cheating husband wife scandal in there somewhere. A kid gets off drugs.
I used to work at Western Sizzlin' on a Sunday, so I'm very familiar with my own version of church drama. And
it's 3 o'clock. Mass went way too long. We are hungry right now. I know the energy.
Yeah. Mm.
All right. Well, you can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes. And our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. And once again, we are bringing in super producer Justin to tell you about a track you should go check out.
All right. Well, I'm going to continue the trend of highlighting black artists this month. And there's this new artist who's popped up on the scene, Talia Goddess. You will have a hard time believing that she is 19 years old when you listen to this track, Poster Girl. It will bring you back to 90s R&B in a real smooth way. Like the silky guitars over it are amazing. And if you love textures in your music, like little surprises like I do, you know, it switches seamlessly between 808 bass music and just a live electric bass. And man, it's so bluesy and jazzy, and it'll melt your problems away for a little bit. And you know, the song's about a poster girl and just being enamored with the beauty of a woman. And you know, every black woman is a poster girl this month. So you know what, listen to this, take your problems away, and you can find this track, Poster Girl by Talia Goddess, in the footnotes.
There Listen, music king right here. Nice. Thank you. Very good.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. We are back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
All right.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.